guys, welcome back to the Simpleton Review. We are so glad you've joined us, all two of you. We cannot tell you how happy we are that my wife and probably Charlie have watched this video. Thank you so much for watching these videos. I truly appreciate it. This week we are going to review King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's new album, Butterfly 3000. It's the 18th studio album by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Physical copies were released independently through the BAM's website. In addition to the regular unlimited edition in English, there were 10 limited special editions with sleeves, labels, and lyrics translated into different languages: German, Italian, French, Dutch, Turkish, Russian, Chinese, Japanese, Thai, Hindi. All 11 languages editions are lucky dip, whatever that means, for vinyl color, with the possibilities being caterpillar. Oh, I see. You don't know what color you're going to get. Oh. For vinyl color, with the possibilities being caterpillar red, butterfly blue, and chrysalis yellow, resulting in 33 potential different editions / combinations of language and color. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Let's go with Generation Next View of King Gizzard. What did you think of King Gizzard's Wizard's album?
I thought it was interesting. It felt like there was a lot of noise.
Thought it was interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. I just felt like there was a lot of noise, and even when I was trying to listen, like, just not focusing on anything else, it was a little hard to catch up on his voice sometimes for me. Mm-hmm. But I will say I like the way that, like, every song seemed to flow into each one. It just makes it hard to play it on shuffle that way, though.
Yeah.
I found out, because the ending to each song's a little rough. Because of that.
Yeah, because it's sudden. Yeah, for sure.
And then the song that stuck out the most to me was Interior People, but maybe because I was kind of like, yeah, I get this. That's fair.
Gotcha. So. Right on. Well, I'll go next on this one. I've listened to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard before, so this isn't my first foray into their music. What I do like about King Gizzard, I like their psychedelic sound. I like psychedelic music. I always have. I mean, I listen to Canned Heat and Hot Tuna and a lot of these bands from the 60s because my mother had all those albums, so I listened to them all. I like that sound. I really, really do. Now, of course, this is an updated, more modern take on psychedelic music. Now, I think those of us who live in the state of Idaho kind of miss out on the full experience of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have to go down to your local pot shop and buy a few brownies before you actually listen to this album to get the full effect. I'm just saying, those of us in Idaho do not have that privilege, nor luxury, nor freedom, even though we live in a freedom state, to do that kind of thing, because, you know, pot bad, guns good. All right, so, that's what happens. But I do – so the problems I have with this album is I really liked the little keyboard element they got, that do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Until about the third or fourth time they used it in the third or fourth song. And I'm like, dude, this is the exact same freaking riff that was in the first song. Why are you doing it over and over again? I'm assuming maybe they just wanted that continual flow to happen throughout the album, but it got on my nerves, man. I'm like, it was cool the first song, but not anymore. So that was my biggest beef of the album. But one song I really liked, which I think was probably because it was kind of like a break and then boom, it kind of hits you, was, I think it was Catching Smoke. It was like they kind of kicked it into a little higher gear, brought in the guitars, and let's rock out just a little bit because maybe we're coming down from our buzz and now we can actually play the guitar. I don't know what it meant, but that's what they were probably doing. So overall, I think it's a good album. I definitely think you should pick it up and take it for a spin for sure. Charlie?
Yeah, I agree. I've listened to a lot of King Gizzard, and you'll find that there's always a hit and miss on their albums because I mean, they do everything, and I mean everything. They go from epic stories, they go from instrumentals that are just like totally symphonic almost, and this is no different. They're definitely stepping into the digital age where there's a lot of digital sound, and that's not normal for them. And you can tell that there was actually like a bit of foreign influence. I mean, that's hearing that they have it translated into several languages. I think that's evident.
You
catch a little bit of like Chinese folk sound and a little bit of Indian folk sound.
Right, so mixed definitely into a couple some Indian sound in there for sure.
Shanghai was obviously definitely influenced. And just in little spots. Most of their stuff still stays true to them, but you could tell where they were trying to like branch out a little bit. I think honestly, I've got probably about 5 songs that I'm going to keep. Just because, you know, they're the dynamic ones. Listening to it all the way through, you listen to the first track. Oh, that was good. Second track, third track, they sounded almost exactly the same.
Yes, exactly.
Same beat. Once you get to Interior People, it broke off and then goes into the Chasing Smoke or Catching Smoke, smart, sorry. And then it doesn't change again until like Black Hot Soup. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's one of those things, and it's actually typical for them. I mean, that's why they have 18 releases. They haven't been putting out music for all that long. I mean, to have 18 releases in probably maybe 10 years, maybe 12 years, it's like, it's not very long.
Yeah. Obviously, they do a lot of experiential type stuff, and maybe it's a lot of jam improv that they're doing in the studio. Oh. I don't know.
Well, and when you go to their shows, it's like drenched in sound. I mean, it is so overcoming. Parts of it where they finally slow down, you feel like you're catching your breath, and then it'll like pick right back up. Here we go, boys, let's go.
You know, and what they could have done probably with the first few tracks on this album is maybe just did like a Fish or a Grateful Dead thing and just made it all one track. Let's just make a jam track, make it 10 or 15 minutes long, and let's just be able to be immersed in. I know they tried that with the no space between tracks, but you still got this feeling that it was a different song. And maybe they could have just did a little bit more of a longer transition into the other song. You know what I mean? And maybe just kind of filled it out, and it wouldn't have felt so like, oh my God, this is the exact same thing. Why are you doing this? You know what I mean?
Except that there are people that bought their other albums where they did do that, and then they complained about them being too long.
All right, fair enough. None of these, which ones? Catching Smoke is the longest song. It's 6 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah.
Everything else is around 4 minutes and, you know, 4 minutes. There's a couple of 5 minutes, but, you know, they're not that long. The songs are pretty short. So, I don't know. You know, these Australian bands are kind of interesting. You had us review that. What was that other band that was from Australia that we interviewed?
Oh, it was too bad because that was like they've done so many others that were so much better. Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever.
That's right. Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever. Yeah. What is it with Australian bands and 10-word names?
Maybe they
just go back to like AC/DC? You know, that's a good Australian band name. Why does it have to be Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard? I mean, come on. Anyway, all right. So why don't it just be Olivia Newton? See, that's a long name too. Olivia Newton-John. Come on now, you Australians. What? You think you're not important enough, so you got to have long names? All right, let's give our let's give our score on this album. Charlie, you're up. You do it first.
I did like the sound, so I'm going to give it a little bit higher score than I would normally. I'm actually going to give it 3.5.
Okay.
So, I didn't have many that I'm going to keep for the playlist, but again, for being pioneering into a new sound form, I think they did a good job. The representation was really well done.
Okay, good. Lemuel.
I'm going to give it 3. I think it's definitely worth sitting down and just like listening to all the way through and then maybe save a song or two, but I wouldn't listen to most of these songs isolated personally.
So you're going to give it 3, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'll give it 3. It's worth a listen. It's interesting.
Okay, fair enough. I am going to have to go for 3 as well. I appreciated the quality, and it is a well-done album. Don't misunderstand me, folks. I'm not saying this is a terrible album. You shouldn't buy it. Definitely give it a spin. King Gizzard is always worth a listen, even if nothing else for their novelty. It's an interesting band. They're definitely not boring, that's for sure. Now, their songs may get boring, but the band themselves is always like, what am I going to listen to this time around? That's for sure. At least that's been my experience with them when I've listened to some of their albums. It's just been that kind of thing, right? So I'm going to give it 3 overall. Unfortunately, King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's Butterfly 3000 does not make the Simpleton certified list, but you should go give it a spin, and maybe you should buy one of their LPs and get one of their lucky dips and who knows what color you'll get. That sounds like really cool stuff to me.
Yeah, actually,
I might have to
really
go buy
fun.
One of their LPs too. So, yes, well, there you have it, folks. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard reviewed by the Simpletons. And we were not hard, but, you know, it's a good album. Go check King Gizzard out. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Simpleton Review. You can find everything Simpleton on thesimpletonreview.com. You can also find us at Patreon. We have a Patreon page. Yes, we do. And we want patrons because we want money. Is that fair?
I don't know. Got to keep all this stuff up to date.
That's right.
Recordings and all that. Oh, yeah.
That's right. If you've listened to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard's new album, Butterfly 3000, then please let us know if you have, whether you hated it, you thought it was stupid, and they should be called King Dumbheads and the Doofus Schmerts. I don't know. Whatever. Or if you think they're amazing and we just don't know it because we don't have brownies, then let us know that as well, because we really would like to know. But yeah, we'd love to have you comment and tell us what you think of King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. And I am not going to say that name one more time.
Say it 5 times fast.
On this video. No, I am not going to.
Izzard.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the Simpleton Review. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.